The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives, you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid, wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Everybody, welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports NFL Podcast. Will Brinson here, along with John Breach and the purveyor of the power rankings himself, the dean of the draft grades, Pete Prisco. What's up, everybody? What's up, fellas? How we doing?
You know, I invented power rankings. You might not know that, but I did.
Pete, I read about that in college one time back in 1896. You invented them, right?
Yeah,
when they power ranked the first Olympics.
Yeah, it was leather helmets, and I used to do these blind rankings on best leather helmets. You guys know all about blind rankings here, right? Don't you?
We sure do. We'll have some blind rankings coming up later in the show, but first, on to the power rankings, and we start obviously at the top, where obviously the Kansas City Chiefs are number one after winning back-to-back Super Bowls. They're going to be the favorite, Pete, to three-peat. The draft class was really good for him. I think my biggest question for you, when you look at this class in totality, what do you think helps them more? The addition of Xavier Worthy with that first round pick, or the depth that they got on that offensive line in terms of the draft class that they put together in Kansas City?
A combination of both. I said this earlier, we were talking about the Chiefs and being number one. Last year was the year to get them. I mean, that was not a good Chiefs team. It got hot at the right time, but they were gettable. You know, the defense was really good. I get it. They have a lot of those pieces back. L'Jarius Sneed's not one of them. He's gone, but they'll still be fine in the secondary. But if you were going to get the Chiefs last year with the way the offense played for much of the season and the way Patrick Mahomes played, it wasn't vintage Patrick Mahomes. So I think that was the year to get them. I like their draft, by the way. I think Worthy gives them that speed element. The left tackle from BYU, they thought about, somebody told me they considered him in the first round, which would have been interesting. Wiley is a tight end from TCU I love. And then Hicks, those guys were on my better than team, both of them. I think both of them will end up being starters clearly down the road for Wiley. But, you know, when he came out, I said this, I think, on another show, but I might have said it on your podcast before, too, is the guy, when Wiley came out, you know what he ran at the combine? 4.62. You know who else ran 4.62 at the combine? Travis Kelce.
Ooh, way to tie it all together, Prisco. Let me ask you this, though, because it seems like the Chiefs' biggest question mark this year is very similar to what their biggest question mark was last year, and that really feels like the receivers. Yes, Xavier Worthy, fastest combine, fastest 40 in combine history. You know whose record he broke? John Ross. You know what John Ross did in the NFL? Nothing. And we've seen historically where these speed guys, that doesn't necessarily translate to success in the NFL. So are you worried about the receiving core at all? They might not have Rashee Rice. We still don't know. We don't know how well Hollywood Brown's going to fit in the offense. And then you have a rookie. So it does feel like we don't really know what to make of the Chiefs receiving core just yet.
By the way, Tyreek Hill, when it comes to speed guys, says hello, Breach. Let's not forget about him. A little guy who could run.
Hey, you know who else says hello? is Patrick Mahomes, who was drafted one pick after the Bengals took John Ross. Nice job there by your Bengals, Breach.
Yeah, I mean, look, as long as Patrick Mahomes is playing quarterback, they'll figure it out. And now they have speed. You know, Hollywood Brown can run. Worthy can run. We don't know how many games Rice is going to miss. He's going to miss some, but we don't know how many he's going to miss. And you still have Kelce in that offense. Don't worry about the Chiefs. Look, 2 years ago, you worried about the receivers, and they won it. Last year, rightfully so, you worried about the receivers, and they won it. Don't worry about them. They'll be fine because of Patrick Mahomes.
Is it okay to be worried about left tackle? Donovan Smith last year, now you're breaking into a new left tackle. Maybe that's a little bit bigger than the receiving issues and maybe not so much talked about, but hey, that's a key spot. Are you worried about that, Prisco?
Yeah, they won a Super Bowl with bad tackle play across the board last year because they didn't get great play from the right tackle either. Taylor didn't play that well, and then you go to the left side, and he was bad and had a lot of penalties. And yet they still were able to score enough points when they needed to score and win a Super Bowl. So they'll figure it out. Andy Reid's too good a coach, and Patrick Mahomes is the greatest quarterback who ever played.
Ooh, I don't disagree. I think it's very similar to, you know, talking about the Patriots and how they were able to, like, sort of get to the postseason, figure it out, and then, you know, Tom Brady and Gronk or whoever else would just turn it on. And that's sort of what you have from the Kansas City Chiefs these days. All right, we've got risers and fallers from the offseason that was in 2024. We'll get to those next coming up after the break here on the Pick Six Podcast.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back to the Pick Six Podcast Show. Will Brinson, John Breach, and the pinnacle power ranker himself, Pete Prisco. Probably should have thought of all these alliterative phrases before we fired up the show, but, you know, just spontaneously podcast just broke out, pop-up podcast. Anywho, back to the power rankings. These are the post-draft power rankings. And so, Pete, your last power rankings before, a lot of P's here, your last power rankings before these post-draft power rankings were immediately following the season, the Jets, not a very good football team with no Aaron Rodgers, finish at 26. They have leapt all the way up to 11th in your power rankings. Is that more a byproduct of Aaron Rodgers getting healthy or you liking what they did this offseason?
Well, it's not so much a leap because this is a brand new look ahead to the power rankings. You know, those power rankings are kind of based on last year, and this is looking ahead to this year. So it's not like they took a big leap based on what they did. It's just that you had Aaron Rodgers back, and they weren't a very good team last year with Zach Wilson and that gang trying to play quarterback. So, yeah, and getting Rodgers back is enormous. And we don't know where he is. You know, everybody talked about him being back at the end of last season and where would he be if he came back, if they were making a playoff run. Now, even now, you have no idea where he is as a quarterback. You'd like to think he's going to be all the way back, but he's 40. It's tough to come back from, you know, an injury at that age, even as good as it's been and medicine has been lately. It's still tough to do. But I think he's going to be close to being the same Aaron Rodgers. And if he is, it's a major upgrade for an offense that needed it. And so the question becomes, are they good enough on the offensive line? And they added Tyron Smith. They added Morgan Moses. Then they drafted Fashanu, the tackle out of Penn State. They're going to be better. No matter who's playing, they're going to be significantly better on the offensive line. So add that all together. They're an improved team. Now the question becomes, does the pressure on Robert Saleh, does the pressure on that organization, does the pressure on Aaron Rodgers impact how they play? I think if everybody stays healthy, Will, and Rodgers stays healthy, they have a chance to not only push for that division title, but push for a lot more.
Pete, I'm glad you said if everyone stays healthy, because right now it feels like this team is being held together by scotch tape. You look at Mike Williams, he's coming off the ACL tear. You look at Tyron Smith, he's missed 17 games over the past two seasons. Obviously, you mentioned Aaron Rodgers with the Achilles. And I know Morgan Moses, John Simpson, but both of those guys came from Baltimore. It's like the Ravens decided they would rather not have an offensive line than have those two guys, and they just gave them to the Jets. So, you know, the Jets have kind of these treadbacks from the Ravens. So are you concerned at all about all the injuries, not just Rodgers, and the fact that these offensive linemen, look, teams don't usually let good offensive linemen go, and all of these guys were kind of let go in free agency, or in Morgan Moses' case, was traded away. So none of that's a concern?
Oh, it's a concern. I mean, anytime you're trying to put together a new offensive line, it's always a concern. I mean, offensive line play in the NFL is awful. Across the board, there's few teams have good offensive lines. And you look at part of the reason you don't get to hit anymore, so you get no continuity. You come out of college, you're passing and tapping, you're not really run blocking, so you get none of that. And it takes time to work in pads for five guys to come together. And now you're bringing these guys all together and trying to ask them to protect Rodgers and run the football with Hall. That's a tough task. I don't care who's on the field. So, yeah, to answer your question, the offensive line is an issue no matter who's in front of them, and it's even more so when you do have those injury questions.
And not to mention, they got a pretty tough division, right? I mean, you got the Bills, you got the Dolphins, who were very good last year, and then the Patriots, who frankly can't be worse on offense after dumping 7 of 8 picks onto that side of the ball. A tougher division, though, the AFC West, features a team I want to pick to go deep into the playoffs, a team that I want to pick to do some weird stuff in the postseason, simply because I believe that Jim Harbaugh wins wherever he goes. And despite people's concerns about Mike Williams leaving, Jets, by the way, Keenan Allen being traded, and the Chargers not using their first pick on a wide receiver, instead getting a tackle, the best tackle in the draft, Joe Alt, and now they have two stud potential all-pro style tackles. This is Harbaugh ball, baby. And you bumped him only up to 18, Pete? What are you doing here? 18? Team's better than 18. It's a playoff team.
No, they're not a playoff team. I'm with you that Harbaugh will win. It just will happen next year. I think this is kind of the feeling out year. You know, you talk about Alt. They drafted Alt, which getting an offensive lineman is the right thing to do, by the way. I would draft an offensive lineman for the exact reasons I just laid out there for you. If you get two good ones, you've solidified your group pretty much. They still got to work together. But when you look at Alt, you're talking about a guy going from the left side to the right side. And he's 6'9". I mean, it's a big man. He's got to have to adjust to play. He's got to have to adjust. Although, I will say this. When they asked Harbaugh about it after the draft, he wouldn't say it right away. And they pressed him, and they pressed him. Who's going to play left tackle? Who's going to play left tackle? And they pressed him, and finally said, Rashawn Slater will start at left tackle. But he wouldn't commit to that right away. So Slater looks, I'll be honest with you, Slater looks more like a right tackle than Alt does. So they're going to have an interesting decision there. But why would you move a guy who's been an all-pro at left tackle from that spot to move him to the right side? I don't think you do. They're going to be physical. They're going to run the ball. That's what Greg Roman wants to do. That's what Harbaugh wants to do. I just think they're going to have to figure out the dynamic with Herbert. You know, does he turn Herbert into J.J. McCarthy? Because you can't have it both ways. When J.J. McCarthy was at Michigan, everybody said, oh, well, they held him back. They ran the ball, and J.J. McCarthy didn't get to show what he could do. Well, if he goes to the Chargers and he does that, are you hurting your team? Or are you helping your team if you hold Justin Herbert back? So I want to see how it works out this year before I really – they will – by the way, he's too good a football coach. They will take the step forward.
Well, you look at Justin Herbert, and they're going to have to run the ball because they don't have any receivers. I mean, look, maybe Ladd McConkey ends up being the next Jerry Rice.
Ladd McConkey, baby!
Well, maybe he ends up being the next Jerry Rice. But right now, he's a rookie receiver. He's next to Quentin Johnson and Joshua Palmer. I mean, Justin Herbert doesn't have any proven guys to throw to, which seems like a huge issue. And again, it's not like you have them in your top 10, Pete. You have them in the bottom half. It's Brenton over here with all the playoff talk. But do you think these guys can develop? Or do you think Harbaugh is basically forcing himself and forcing Greg Roman to embrace a run-first offense?
Well, you can't give up on a second-year receiver after he struggles as a rookie either. I mean, that's too soon. You got to give him another year. So I think Johnson you have to give this year. You know, McConkey's going to be a good player. I mean, he is. He's going to be a good NFL receiver for a long time. But again, what's the philosophy? I think, you know, you can talk all you want about the receivers and throwing the ball and Herbert's deep balls and his passing and everything else. But what they want to do is run the ball. That's what they want to do. And so I want to see the dynamic when you have Herbert and that arm – and you have a lot of run calls, plays. I think that's going to be a problem for them as they kind of work their way through it this year, which is why I'm not as bullish on the Chargers as Brinson is. But you know how Brinson works, Breach. He's got to make some outlandish statement in April so that when it happens, if it happens, then he can claim it, even though he backed away from it four or five times in the course leading up to the season.
Classic Brinson.
Look, you're not wrong. That is classic Brinson. I will say I have no interest in I'm gonna get this tattooed on my right arm. I will not let myself be talked into picking the Chargers to win this division. The Chiefs are gonna win this division every year for the next decade. I do think the wide receiver thing is overblown. And two words for you, if you're worried about Justin Herbert, Andrew Luck threw like 27 times a game max at Stanford, and he was just fine. Speaking of quarterbacks that we have concerns about, Joe Burrow. Can this guy start a season healthy for once in his freaking career? I mean, my God, even his rookie year when he was healthy, he had to deal with a pandemic and not having the playbook because of a weird season. Do you think the Bengals, who were 17 when the season ended, great job by them, like trying to figure something out without Burrow, all the way up to 7 now, is this the Bengals' year, Pete? We're sort of closing in on you needing them to win the Super Bowl for you to be correct in your draft night prediction. Speaking of April bombast.
Well, if they had blocked Aaron Donald in the last play of the game in the Super Bowl against the Rams, they would have won one already. But they couldn't block him, and needless to say, Jamar Chase was wide open down the sideline, and they couldn't get him the football. So they didn't win it, so I still have a ways to go. I got 5 more years to get my prediction of the Bengals winning one after they picked him, and I still think it's going to happen. He's too good a player, but you're right, he's got to stay on the field. You look at their offense, he's got to be on the field or they're a totally different team. We know that. There's certain guys in this league, you got to have a good backup. I don't care who your backup is. If your starter's out, you're done. If he's out for any length of time, you're done. And that's the way Joe Burrow is. But offensive line's been an issue for him. I think they addressed it in the draft. And they got 3 of the biggest tackles. Those guys could start on an NBA team. They're all 6'8". They're big tackles. So their line will be better. He just has to stay on the field.
Yeah, and that's absolutely right, Pete. Look, Joe Burrow misses those 7 games. The Bengals played arguably the toughest schedule, and they still had a winning record, still went 9-8. So if you're a Bengals fan, that is why you are optimistic about 2024. But look, he's one more injury away from getting the injury-prone label. I mean, we saw the ACL, obviously, and the wrist, but let's not forget about missing all of training camp with the calf issue. So if these injuries keep piling up, they're going to become a concern. I think right now it's definitely in the back of your mind if you're the Bengals that, hey, look, Joe's having trouble staying on the field. And if it happens again this training camp or early next season, that's when you're in trouble and you have to start thinking forward. And I would say the other thing with the Bengals is the defense. The Joe Burrow injury kind of overshadowed the fact that this defense gave up more yardage than any other team in the AFC, the second most in the NFL. So they're going to have to get that right. And, they made some moves on the defensive line, added Sheldon Rankins, picked up a couple guys in the draft. So I do think they should be better. But that's absolutely the other concern besides Joe Burrow's health. Right, Brinson?
All right. Oh, sorry. Yeah, no, that's my fault. I thought there was a question somewhere in that. You were just babbling about the defense. And I sort of checked out. It's just Bengals babble talk. It's fine. No big deal. Anyway, we got more power rankings to get to, including a team that, 7-9 special.
You froze worse than Kirk Cousins in a big game. What are you doing? My God.
I thought he was asking you a question.
Oh, my gosh.
I popped worse than Kirk Cousins' Achilles, man. Anyway, we got to talk about the Saints. They stink. Will they go 7-9 every year from now until eternity? We'll find out after the break here on the Pick 6 Podcast. Next.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Welcome back to the Pick 6 Podcast show here on CBS Sports HQ, CBS Sports Network. Will Brinson, Pete Prisco, John Breach, breaking down Pete's post-draft power rankings. And I'm guessing, Pete, actually I haven't even looked where they are, but the New Orleans Saints actually plummeted from 16 to 27, 27 is actually about right for the Saints. You know why? Because the Saints stink. The Saints, I'm sorry, and I know that people accuse me of being a Derek Carr hater or a Derek Carr family hater, whatever you want to call it. The Saints are boring. I don't know what the Saints do that well. They're not that exciting. They have some good players. Chris Olave, awesome. Cameron Jordan, awesome. But frankly, Pete, I don't think there's a lot to love here with the Saints, and I don't think you like the Saints very much either based on your ranking of 27.
Well, they are going to have a new offense, a new system, so I think that's something to be excited about because I thought they got a little stale. I mean, you know, Clint Kubiak's going to be the offensive coordinator. I think he'll bring in that system and help liven things up a little bit. But the offensive line's been a problem for a while. They addressed it in the draft. You know, they got a left tackle in the draft. I think that'll help them in a big way. But now your right tackle is talking about retiring. He's got some injury issues as well. Ramczyk at right tackle. And then the concern I have, usually you see a team that has a lot of age starting to creep in on defense, and there's younger guys ready to step in some spots. But I'm starting to worry about the age. You know, Cam Jordan's not a kid anymore. DeMario Davis isn't a kid anymore. Honey Badger isn't a kid anymore. So you're starting to see age creep in on that defense. So I think it's just a weird transition period. And we know, look, there's a lot of pressure on Dennis Allen this year. He's got to win. I mean, he changed coordinators, so they're not changing the coordinator next. It's going to probably change the head coach. So a lot of pressure on him as well. So I think you look at this division, I think the Bucs are better. I think the Falcons are better. The Panthers are not better. So they're probably the third team in the division as we sit here right now.
Well, Pete, it seems like you're not very high on Dennis Allen's current team, and I don't think you're very high on Dennis Allen's former team, the Las Vegas Raiders. Before the draft, you had him at 19th. You have now dropped him down to 24th. So I have to know, is it because they drafted a tight end for some reason in the first round, even though they used a top 35 pick on a tight end last year? Is it because no one has any idea who their quarterback is? Is it because they didn't draft for need at all? Did you think they were going to get a quarterback in the draft? Why are you so low on the Raiders, Briscoe?
Well, let's start with the quarterback position. They didn't address it. They clearly wanted to. They were interested in going up and getting the guy. They couldn't. Where they were at, they didn't get one. They weren't active enough. So now you're stuck. You're going to play Gardner Minshew or Aiden O'Connell. And to me, that's a problem. You're not going to be able to keep up with other teams in that division. You're not going to be able to keep up with the Chiefs. I think that's a problem. Yeah, I know Antonio Pierce wants to run the ball and be physical, and I get it. Well, if that's the case, why'd you draft the tight end you drafted? I mean, they drafted Brock Bowers. You know what that was to me? That was a luxury pick. Michael Mayer was good at the end of last year. He's your tight end. Why do you need to go get – and I know teams play a lot of two tight ends, but you did that for your team, the way it's constructed right now, that was not a good pick. I don't care. Bowers is going to be a good player. Mayer's going to be a really good player. You didn't need to do that. You could have addressed – right tackle, I think that could have been an issue they could have done. You could have addressed the defense. Corner would have been another position you could have looked at. So I think on the surface, this team is the third or fourth team in the division. I don't think they're going to be a playoff team. I think Antonio Pierce did a heck of a job last year, and it's unfair to grade him on what he has right now at the quarterback position. And he clearly wanted to address that. But as of right now, the quarterback position, you guys know how I feel about Minshew. I think he's a backup. I'm worried about it.
Yeah, I mean, look, the bottom line is when you have an interim coach who gets promoted to the full-time coach, a GM who just got fired by a division rival, and Gardner Minshew and Aiden O'Connell at quarterback, you know, you may be sort of flirting with things when it comes to not winning a lot of football games, especially when you play Patrick Mahomes twice a year, Justin Herbert twice a year, now Bo Nix twice a year. Elsewhere in the AFC, though. Loaded AFC, by the way. We were talking about it, Pete, over text. Like, how do you – like, picking the playoff teams is going to be tough. Like, leaving some teams out of the AFC, you know, it's like I left the Dolphins out, and you might leave the Dolphins out as well. You had them at 15th. They got leapfrogged by the Jets, and I'll hand it to producer Harry. I'll let him ask the question here. How does it feel to be so wrong? Just kidding. He wants to know how the Dolphins, what the Dolphins have to do to earn your trust and move into the top 10.
Well, let's start with the quarterback. He was good. He wasn't good in the big moments, though. He wasn't. You go back and look at the big games he played in, and in the playoff game he wasn't very good, and I know the weather wasn't good for him either. It was freezing, but you look at what he did against the good teams. He wasn't very good, and that is concerning to me. The offensive line had a bunch of injuries. Did they really address it? I love Patrick Paul, the left tackle they took out of Houston, but he's not going to play right away. If Armstead's healthy, he's going to play. So are they any better on the offensive line? That's a worry. Defensive tackle, they signed a bunch of bodies, Benito Jones and guys like that, and Neville Gallimore, but they're not going to replace Christian Wilkins, and they didn't draft a guy. They did not draft a down lineman in the draft, which I found surprising. And you have concerns of the guys who rush the passer. You know, Phillips is coming off a major injury. Chubb's coming off an ACL injury. You're talking about Achilles and an ACL. You drafted two, and I do like the two they drafted. I love Chop Robinson, and I like Kamara as well. I think they're both going to be good edge players, but they're kids. So there are concerns with the Miami Dolphins. First and foremost, Tua in big games.
Tua and I will be after you. Tua and I will be all up on
it. The stats are there. We put the graphic up. We saw it. You saw it. He didn't play well in those games.
I'm with you. All right, Pete. Pete was able to give us a lesson on Tua and I just now. And coming up after the break, he's going to give John Breach a lesson on the Birds and the Bears next on the Pick Six Podcast Show.
It's done. Goal of the year, part of the past, the celebrations forgotten, the history,
Vegas Golden Knights.
History, we're back to a blank slate, clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
The Pick Six Podcast, not just a delightful television show here on CBS Sports Network. We are also a year-round NFL podcast that brings the goods from recaps to best bets to power rankings to Pete Prisco to emergency podcasts and more. Somebody gets fired, somebody gets hired, we're bringing it to you. Pick Six Podcast has you covered on YouTube. Just search NFL on CBS or on your desired podcast platform. All right, not every team is easily ranked. After the draft, we're doing Pete Prisco's power rankings here, by the way. Sometimes you got to figure out how guys are doing in camp. I think one of the hardest evaluations from the draft, because you can make the argument either way, and Lord knows the Falcons are getting the message out there. They're hammering it home through the PR channels. Let everybody know. Yeah, this is why this is a good draft pick of Michael Penix. The Falcons, 20th, Pete. Not only did they sign Kirk Cousins to a $180 million contract, they added Michael Penix, who I think you actually really like as a prospect, at 8th overall. Did you think about ranking him even lower just out of pure annoyance at the fact that they made those two moves in the span of 6 weeks?
No, but here's where, you know, and I graded their draft, I think it was a C-. But when I look at it, here's how I graded that. I give them an F for giving a quarterback $100 million guaranteed and then going out and drafting a quarterback at 8. So it kind of levels out. Because I like Michael Penix as a quarterback. But if you're going to draft him, and you know at 8 you're going to get a quarterback, and you were probably going to get him. Now, people around the league, they had differing opinions on him. They liked him. But if you knew you were going to get a quarterback at 8, why would you go pay Kirk Cousins? It makes no sense. You have a quarterback on a rookie deal, cheap. You have a situation where why can't you play him right away? You saw what C.J. Stroud did last year. Go draft Penix and play him. And then you take that money and you go spend it and spread it around in free agency to try and add to pieces on the defensive side of the ball. They made a couple good moves on it later in the draft. I think getting Trice, who I like out of Washington, the pass rusher, will help their pass rush. But and Dorless, the inside guy, is a good player from Oregon. But again, I go back to if you're going to pay Kirk Cousins, don't draft a quarterback. And you can say, well, look what Aaron Rodgers did when he sat. I mean, Jordan Love sat behind Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers was homegrown. When Aaron Rodgers was there, they had Favre already when they drafted Rodgers. They had him around for a while. They went out and paid a free agent and then drafted him. It's an entirely different comparison. So when Mahomes took over in Kansas City, Alex Smith was there. And so when you look at it, I don't like paying Cousins and then drafting the quarterback. One or the other, I'm okay with, but not both of them.
Yeah, and Pete, that makes a lot of sense because one of the biggest advantages of drafting a quarterback is that you have the QB rookie contract, but you are throwing that out the window when you are paying Your other quarterback, $90 million guaranteed, $100 million guaranteed over the next 2 years. So there is no advantage. And really, you look at the draft class. I mean, Pete, you gave him a low grade, as you mentioned. This draft class might not have a guy who is a starter in 2024. And if you're Kirk Cousins, you have to be thinking, my God, I signed here. I was hoping we were a few players away from being a playoff team, maybe even a Super Bowl contender. What are we doing taking a quarterback at eighth overall? So, Pete, I need to know. Put your general manager hat on and tell me what you would have done with the eighth overall pick and what the Falcons should have done so they could be higher in your power rankings than number 20 right now.
I would have taken Dallas Turner, but first I would have tried to see if anybody wanted to go up to that spot to maybe take one of the quarterbacks, move down, take Dallas Turner, and get an extra pick or two. That's probably what I would have done. I would have traded back down because I already had Kirk Cousins, and I paid him already. And if I'm going to really go all in, if you know you get Kirk Cousins, you're going all in. You think you're going to win a division, become a playoff team, then go get him help. You know, you mentioned the contract with the quarterback situation. Jordan Love played 1 year, right? He's played one full year as a starter. He's going to play this year. They're going to have to give him a new contract. So basically on that rookie deal, they got two, and it wasn't even because they restructured it. They only got 2 years out of him. And that's the advantage of having the rookie quarterback. So I'm with you, Breach. I would have tried to trade down, and if I couldn't trade down, I would have taken Dallas Turner.
Yeah, and to your point, Pete, with C.J. Stroud, he literally can't get a new contract for two more years. They're like, sorry, C.J., we'd love to give you more money. We wouldn't really, but we can't. Michael Penix, by the time that he becomes a starter, might be 29. It's pretty ridiculous, too, with his age. Of course, we've seen teams like the Philadelphia Eagles draft a quarterback when people weren't expecting it, Jalen Hurts, and it ends up working out pretty well. They ticked up two spots. Totally collapsed last year. I think they were up to like two or three in your power rankings at one point last season. Completely collapsed. But finish or start off this offseason, this intro into the new season in the top 10. How do you feel about the Eagles? Some of the changes they've had. Another nice draft for Howie Roseman and company there. Beefed up the secondary. What are your sort of expectations for the Eagles after that massive collapse last year?
Well, I think the Super Bowl hangover was real. You know, everybody always talks about it, but when you lose the Super Bowl and you're still one of the team that's everybody's gunning for you because you won the conference, it's hard. It's a challenge for a head coach, and I don't think they did a great job of handling that last year in any way, shape, or form. Hurts wasn't as good. He struggled. His passing wasn't as good. Defensively, they were awful. And, you know, I love the fact that they drafted two corners, or a corner and a safety, however you want to look at it. Because their secondary was awful last year. There were a lot of names in that secondary and not a lot of games. Because Bradbury struggled, Slay struggled at times. You know, the back end wasn't as good. And I think getting, Mitchell is big for them. And because he's the best corner in the draft, in my mind. And then you get Cooper DeJean, and he's going to play either corner or safety, and you can play him in a bunch of different spots with the versatility. And remember, who's going to be a big part of that defense now is Fangio. So I think that changes the way they play back there. So I like what they did. Guys got to be better. You know, Jalen Carter burst onto the scene, was dominant, looked like he was going to be just this all-world defensive lineman. Down the stretch, wasn't the same player. So I think focus has to be something that they focus on the defensive side of the ball, and I think they will. They have to be better against the run. They got to be better against the pass. I think the draft will help with that. They'll be back in the mix again. Super Bowl hangover, it's done. They drank their liquid IV. It's behind them. They're ready to go.
One team that's definitely not having a Super Bowl hangover because they haven't won one in 30 years, 40 years, can't even do the math since 1985, is the Chicago Bears. But maybe we can start talking about them as Super Bowl contenders again because they had a great draft. We all know they got Caleb Williams, number one overall. We saw them get Roma Dunze. We saw them make the best pick of the draft when they got Torrey Taylor, the punter, from Iowa. What a fantastic pick, Chicago. And now we have Caleb Williams going into this unbelievable situation where not only does he have a Dunze, you have Keenan Allen, you have DJ Moore, you have Cole Kmet at tight end. They have surrounded him with weapons. He's going to a team that was 7-10. I mean, usually a number one overall pick goes to a team that won two games last year or three games the year before. Not Caleb Williams. He's going to a pretty talented team. Pete, you move them up from 21st before the draft to 17 after the draft. What do you think of the Bears? How good can they be? Can they compete in the NFC North?
Well, I don't know if they'll win the division, but I think they're going to compete for a wild card spot, and that's tough to do in the in that division. It's a good division. The Packers are good. The Lions are good. The Vikings, if their quarterback's any good, they could be good. So it's a tough division. Look, a rookie quarterback coming in, usually we sit there and we say, well, they're going to struggle a little bit. Well, C.J. Stroud pushed that out the door last year. He was sensational. And so can Caleb Williams be that guy? I don't love Caleb Williams as much as everybody else does. But having said that, I still think he could be a really good quarterback. I mean, he's big, thick-wise. He's not tall, but he can throw the football. And he's one of those guys that has to be more conventional than he was at USC at times. That's the one knock on him. But like you said, it's a great situation. The weapons are good. The offensive line is good. And what's even better, look at their defensive numbers in the over the course of the last six games last year. They were outstanding. They have two young corners. You know, to be good on defense, you have to rush the passer, you have to have corners. Stevenson was fantastic last year. Johnson they brought back on a new contract. They're good at corner. You know, Sweat can rush the passer. I probably would have addressed pass rusher maybe rather than add another wide receiver. But I could see where you would try and get a long-term guy to play with Caleb Williams. Watch out for the Bears. I said it during the season. The way they were playing late in the year, no matter who was going to play quarterback, if they had kept Fields or drafted whoever, they were going to be a team that's going to be much improved. I like where they're headed. This team has young talent on it.
I mean, the Bears hype train every offseason, just a little ridiculous. And you can tell that it's going to be building this year. That's a tough division, man. I think people are going to get hyped up on the Bears. I think people are going to get hyped up on Jordan Love. And the Lions are just kind of sitting there just being a steady, steady franchise for the first time in a long time. If this Bears offense, by the way, this is probably the single best landing spot for a number one overall pick in the history of the NFL, at least in the modern history, when you have the Bears who were at number nine, you know, get the free move up because of the Panthers were so terrible. And then you have just all these wide receivers and an improving ascending offensive line. This offense isn't good. Might be a real indictment. It's either an indictment of Caleb Williams or Shane Waldron, one of the two. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, Pete's favorite game on the planet, blind rankings. We'll do it after the break. Next.
This is Tony Kornheiser's show. I'm Tony. You expected someone else? So what exactly is the show about? I don't know. It's a sports show nominally. Football's over, but we're finally at a point where things matter in college basketball, and baseball season is on deck. Greatest three words in the English language, pitchers and catchers. We have some of the best voices come on and explain what matters or what makes an upset, like Ryan does, 9-8. No, that's not an upset. No, yeah, it is, Bob. And if you're lucky, I might just tell you about my search for discounted sleep pants or my worries about what my dog just ate. Listen on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Pick Six Podcast Show. Will Brinson, John Breach, and Pete Prisco. Pete's got a lot of pent-up passion for something we like to call blind rankings. I know, Pete, we know all Pete's power rankings. We went through the big notable teams. We did some fashion talk, and you got to end the show, as we do traditional fashion, with blind rankings. So, Pete, we got a good one for you. We're going to do stadium foods. You ready to blind? I'm just kidding. We're not going to do stadium foods. We're going to do number one overall quarterbacks who were picked number one overall to celebrate the draft, to celebrate Caleb Williams, to celebrate your ranking of the Bears at 25th or wherever the hell you ranked the Bears. I can't remember where you said it, but I'm sure it made Bears fans angry because they think they should be number one. All right, let's see if you're going to boom or bust here, Pete. As everybody knows, you get to slot these guys into 1 through 5. But you don't know who else is coming down the pipe, so you may be stuck with a bad pick at a certain spot. Just have to be careful and thoughtful about it. We'll start. 1987. There's probably people watching this show who weren't even born in 1987. That's how long ago that was. Vinny Testaverde, his season in 1987 with Tampa Bay. Where do you rank that? 1 through 5, Pete.
Not his season. I'm ranking his career, right?
Sure. We'll do careers.
That's okay. So his career, I'm going to give him 4 because Vinny Testaverde had a long career and threw for a lot of yards. So I'm going to put Vinny Testaverde at number 4. It's easy to just say he was bad in Tampa, dead here. Number 4.
All right. Here you go, Prisco. Next name, Alex Smith, 49ers number 1 overall pick in 2005.
I'm going to take my chances here and put him at 3 because I know you're going to put something really rotten in there. So I'll put him at 3.
Alex Smith at 3. By the way, Alex Smith kind of a bust, was drafted over Aaron Rodgers, but then later it worked out really well when he landed with the Chiefs. And of course, had the good run with Jim Harbaugh in San Francisco. Sam Bradford, the 2010 draftee by the St. Louis Rams.
Well, first of all, for all the money he made, he should be number 1 for the career he had, but I'm not going to put, I'll put him at 5. I'll put Sam Bradford at 5.
Oh, that means top 2 spots in these next 2. Next up is my dad's former teammate from Cal Berkeley, Steve Bartkowski, 1975 number 1 overall pick.
I'll put him at number 2. Steve Bartkowski was a better quarterback than a lot of people give him credit for. I'll put Steve Bartkowski at number 2.
Well, you only got 1 spot left. I believe it's number 1. Fortunately, it was your last year's pick for MVP, Trevor Lawrence, 2021. Trevor Lawrence slots in at number 1. Let's take a quick look at the results from Pete's blind quarterback power rankings. We have at number 1, Trevor Lawrence. Number 2, Steve Bartkowski. 3, Alex Smith. 4, Vinny Testaverde. And 5, Sam Bradford. What would you change if you had to do it all over again, Pete?
I'd probably put Vinny Testaverde ahead of Alex Smith. Other than that, I like mine. I mean, Trevor Lawrence will end up being the number 1. It's too early to say he is right now, but I like where I put those guys.
All right. I mean, it's not bad. Trevor Lawrence, still plenty of time. I think a lot of people writing off Trevor Lawrence
stupid.
And the Jaguars, maybe a little too early. Yeah, Trevor Lawrence got a lot of good football left in him. He's very young, very talented. That'll do it for us here on the Pick 6 Podcast Show on CBS Sports Network. Of course, we are a year-round podcast, so make sure and check us out. We'll have some mailbag stuff this offseason, plenty of draft recap, and much more, tons of fun all year round. Thanks for watching.
It only takes 2 minutes of sheer horror.
A new Paramount Plus original docuseries.
We were dealing with a serial killer preying on elderly women.
A cold-blooded killer hidden in plain sight.
He's suffocating people with pillows.
Leaving corpses all over Texas.
How did it happen?
I was responsible for her. The guilt is immeasurable. They covered it up.
Pillowcase Murders, now streaming exclusively on Paramount Plus.